With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. It's Fish, Cake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Josh Yowie, Penguins beat writer for The Athletic. Hey, Josh. How you feeling?
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you guys?
Hey, how pissed off were the Pens after Game 2 based on the mini controversies there with the goal disallowed and the Dumoulin hit, and there's a couple other things, maybe the interference that wasn't called on Conley. Were they really pissed off, or did they just say, hey, let's move on, we got to win Game 3?
It's funny. It's not a very emotional team. They're kind of robotic for the most part personality-wise, so they never give you too much. But, yeah, they were a little aggravated. I think they were probably aggravated by the no goal call more than anything. I'm just talking with a couple of guys. I know, just talking with Hornquist and Crosby afterwards. They both seemed to have a pretty good view of it and were convinced it was a goal. So, yeah, they were a little aggravated, but I would never say they don't really get angry. It's just not their way. Or even if they are, they don't really let you see it.
Yeah.
But, yes, they were annoyed, I would say.
Josh, is your opinion going into Game 3 that there's a big target on Tom Wilson, or are they going to approach this, like you said, they're kind of robotic. It's going to be back to business for the Pens on home ice. They're not going to be taken out of their game by what some of them think was a cheap shot on Dumoulin by Wilson in Game 2.
No, you know what? I wrote about that last night. In fact, they're not going to go after Wilson, and to be honest with you, they're not really equipped to. Jamie Oleksiak's probably the only guy in the team. He's 6'7", 250. If he wanted to do something about Wilson, he theoretically could. He's a pretty good fighter as well. But it's just not how they're constructed. Mike Sullivan tells him, avoid it, just play. That's what he always tells him. I asked Tom Kunockel yesterday. I said, listen, it's Wilson every year that's involved in a controversial play. At some point, you guys just kind of take it into your own hands and do something about it. And Kunockel said no. He said, we're going to ignore him, but we're not going to do it. We're just going to keep winning and keep trying to win, and hopefully we shake their hands at the end and we win again. They're not going to do it. I've seen it for years with this team. It's just their philosophy. It's something they kind of adopted from the Red Wings teams a decade ago. And those teams were very talented and didn't really ever fight and just tried to ignore it, and I think that's what you're going to see. So I don't think Tom Wilson has anything to worry about in that regard.
Josh, I will say this. Now, I might be a little bit biased because I'm a Caps fan, but just based on, and I don't know how you feel about it, but just based on the replay, it certainly wasn't intentional. I mean, Dumoulin just kind of, he stopped. He was bracing for Ovi's hit, and he kind of stopped and turned, and Wilson's shoulder was right there. I don't think it was intentional. You may feel different.
It's impossible to say if there's intent. A couple of things I would say. I can't ignore Tom Wilson's history.
Right, right.
And this is a guy who, if anything, is careless when he's on the ice. I don't think he particularly cares if he hurts people at times. I think we've seen that from him in the past. And by the way, I'm not somebody who thinks Tom Wilson is just a goon. I actually think he's a pretty good player when he wants to be. But it's impossible in that play to gauge his intent. But do I still think he raised his shoulder a little bit in the direction of Dumoulin's head? I do. Have I seen more flagrant? Yes. Am I surprised that he was not disciplined? No, not really. Frankly, when there's gray area, the league usually lets it go. But I can't ignore his history. That's my biggest problem with the play. If that had been Lars Eller who had did that, I probably wouldn't think anything of it. But because Wilson, there was the Wenberg hit in the first round, there have been so many incidents with him that I can't ignore that, so that bothers me a little bit. But, there clearly is gray area. It wasn't a black and white incident, that's for sure.
Joined by Josh Yoey, Penguins beat writer for The Athletic. There was lots of jawing between Devontae Smith-Pelly and Patrick Hornquist in Game 2. Do we see a spillover of that in Game 3 tonight? That was getting pretty heated in the penalty box.
I enjoyed reading Smith-Pelly's lips, actually. That was good theater at the end. I'm sure they'll go at it again. Here's the thing about Hornquist. He will not fight. He won't drop the gloves. He won't do it. He will drive you crazy. He'll slash you in the shin pad all game. He's just the ultimate instigator when it comes to things like that. But he won't fight. So Smith-Pelly is, I'm sure, aware of that by now. They've played each other enough. So there will be great hostility, I have no doubt. But if Smith-Pelly is, in my opinion, if he were wise, he would just let it go, because Hornquist will get in your head and drive you crazy, and you're going to take a dumb penalty. And the last thing you want to do is give the Penguins a lot of power plays, especially with Balkan presumably back tonight. But, yes, it was entertaining. I hope they do have more sequences like that just so we can all be entertained.
Josh, you guys were a little shorthanded in the first couple games with the injuries. I don't know if Pens fans are using that as an excuse or not, but you want to give us an update on Malkin, Hagelin, and who am I missing?
Dumoulin,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I was really surprised Malkin did not play in Game 2. I watched him in practice on Saturday. He looked fine. I suspect if the Penguins had lost Game 1, he probably would have played in Game 2.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, if they felt like that bought them, you know, 48 more hours for him to get healthy, I'm sure he will play tonight. As for the other two, Brian Dumoulin did practice yesterday. I find it hard to believe he didn't have a concussion based on his reaction to the hit and the way he looked on the ice in the moments afterwards. No idea if he'll play tonight, but it, you know, he did practice yesterday, so it's possible. Carl Hagelin wore a full face shield in practice yesterday. He took a Claude Giroux hit about 10 days ago and hasn't played since. I would guess there's something broken, whether it's a jaw or facial bones, something of that nature. He said he's going to have to wear the whole shield whenever he does return. He'll be back at some point. I would say he and Dumoulin are both 50-50 for tonight, but clearly Malkin's going to play, and that's a big deal. That could certainly change the dynamic. And you asked how, you know, the Penguins and their fans feel about it. To get a split in Washington without Malkin, when I think the Capitals largely outplayed them in those two games, I think the Penguins will take that.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that because, look, there's no question about it. You guys have owned the Capitals, right, for 25 years in the playoffs. It's just relentless. I mean, we're just beating down fans. But you feel pretty good about how these first two games have gone. I mean, it's awful. Save for about 4 minutes and 42 seconds of hell, I think the Caps have gotten the better of it, and I think it's been pretty obvious. Now, you do have some extra bullets there. You bring back Malkin and some of these other guys. You guys will be in full strength. Maybe it'll be a bit different story. But you agree with that assessment, right? I mean, so far, the Caps are a bit of a run. They won 5 of 6. They're playing pretty well. As a Caps fan, a beaten-down Caps fan, I'm oddly optimistic, I have to say, Josh.
I think this series is so interesting because you can look at it from both perspectives and see a lot of optimism. If you're Washington, obviously you showed a lot of character in the Columbus series to win 4 straight, 3 of those on the road. Ovechkin, and by the way, Ovechkin to me is never the reason they lose the playoffs, even though he takes so much heat, and he's obviously playing very well right now. And the biggest thing is probably Braden Holtby, who has been on such a roller coaster this season. He was very good in the first two games.
Right.
Sure, there's a ton of feeling for optimism, and if you're Pittsburgh, you say, well, yeah, we didn't play great the first two games. Now we get one of the best players in the world back, and we're the second-best team in the league on home ice this year, and they have to win at least one game in Pittsburgh now, and we have Malkin back. So, you know, they're not rattled. They feel like they will play much better with Malkin in the lineup, but Crosby's line has been responsible for all 4 Pittsburgh goals in the series. They've been a bit of a one-line team without Malkin. So it's interesting to me that you can look at it from both perspectives, and both teams probably feel pretty good, which makes tonight's game so interesting, I think. But, yeah, I mean, Washington has every right to feel good about itself. They certainly showed a lot of character, and they are playing very well. They've won, what, 5 out of 6? They've been good on the road, so they should feel good about themselves. So what happened in 1992 shouldn't really matter with this current series. It might matter to the fan bases. It shouldn't really matter to these teams. But I think both teams feel good about themselves.
Josh, not telling you anything you don't already know here. Pens, 5-time Stanley Cup champs. Caps have never won. Pens are a playoff nemesis. But how do Pens fans view Caps fans? Since the Caps have never won anything of note, are we just regarded as like a minor speed bump on the way to the next Stanley Cup
for
Pittsburgh?
Is it considered a rivalry up there?
Yeah, how do Pens fans view Caps fans?
Oh, first of all, they view Caps fans as human beings, which I can say is more than they view Flyers fans as. So that's one step in the right direction to begin with. But, no, I mean, yes, Penguins fans absolutely, I think, consider it a rivalry to some extent, but it's one they enjoy. It's one they enjoy mocking Capitals fans a little bit, I think. I mean, of course, there's a good-natured ribbing there. I know a lot of – I always see the Photoshops of all the – you know, the Capitals second-round banners going around on Twitter whenever they lose. Yeah,
right.
It's kind of a big brother, little brother complex, I suppose. I mean, I think that's fair. And the cities are so close in proximity, and there's so many people from Pittsburgh that live in Virginia or Maryland. I mean, my gosh, there's always going to be a ton of Penguins fans in that building. So, yes, I would say it's big brother, little brother type of feeling, but I don't know that I sense pure hatred the way I do when it's Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, for instance. I don't think it's that kind of a vile rivalry, but yes, I mean, Penguins fans haven't exactly had anything to be upset about in this rivalry for a long time.
Are you surprised that Holtby has been so locked in? I mean, that's the reason for me. That's the one guy that has really kind of carried this team to the split. Certainly in the Columbus win as well, because he was so good there. He had a subpar regular season, Josh. He really did. You know, he was pulled, and you know they started Groovy. That didn't work in the Columbus series. He's been the one reason for me that they have played so well in the postseason.
No, he's been great. And, you know, I was curious to see how he would look when the Pittsburgh series started, because with all due respect to Columbus, the Blue Jackets and the Penguins are two different kinds of offense.
Yep, yep.
Columbus is the kind of team that will just fire shots at will from wherever they are on the ice. Not all that gifted up front, where Pittsburgh, of course, is, you know, has Hall of Famers all over the place. So a different kind of team to deal with. Holtby, yes, he's been very sharp so far. There's no doubt about it. He has had his issues with the Penguins in the last couple of years. I'm curious to see how he looks in these next two games. His numbers in PPG Paints Arena have been horrendous the last couple of years. He's really gotten lit up a couple of times. So, and the Penguins are usually a little bit of a different team at home, as the Capitals are as well. So I'm curious to see how he responds in Pittsburgh. But there's no question, whatever was ailing him during March and February, that's not an issue now. He seems to have righted himself. I'm no goalie expert, but fundamentally he looks very sound to me right now, very confident. He's been terrific. So, yeah, he's obviously moving in the right direction. And with all due respect to Philip Grubauer, I don't think Philip Grubauer is capable of winning four series in the spring. I think Braden Holtby certainly is.
Josh, appreciate the insight and time. It's Josh Yowie, Penguins beat writer for The Athletic. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, you got it.
Yep. Coming up at 8:40, we will shift and talk about the Wizards. Jerry Brewer from The Washington Post is going to talk about how the season ended in the thud right here on The Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Bick, did you see, you know who Josh Hader is?
Heard that name.
Josh Hader's a local kid from Millersville, Maryland, went to Old Mill High School.
Yeah.
Believe he was drafted by the Orioles.
Okay.
Anyway, now he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers.
All right.
And he's their closer.
Yeah.
He faced nine batters.
Oh, this is when he had eight strikeouts.
He faced nine batters last night and struck out eight of them.
That's impressive. How fast does he throw?
I mean, I think he probably throws. Everyone throws mid-90s,
right? Does he
throw
the gas face?
Sure he does. But when I saw that this morning, I was like, what? The Orioles could use him now. Eight strikeouts and nine batters faced.
I saw a story about Matt Harvey, who is now in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Mets still atop the NL East.
Yep.
And Matt Harvey, of course, a couple of years ago, was regarded as an up-and-coming phenom pitcher, which was supposed to be one of the best pitchers in the game. And he's been relegated to the bullpen. And apparently he was in L.A. the night before
a game against the Padres, and there are two sources. One source says that he was absolutely hammered. He went to the opening of some restaurant, was hammered, stumbling around. Another source said that he was completely sober. But still, he was on a trip in San Diego.
And he was in L.A.
And then he just flew to L.A. for the opening
for the night,
to party.
And then flew back.
And then flew back. And then he got shelled the next game.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really
pitching. Oh, he didn't start.
No, he's in the bullpen.
He pitched one inning and gave up a home run.
Because they replaced him with Vargas.
Well, Chris O'Leary says he's got flawed mechanics.
Well, he throws about 87.
Well, plus it's hard to pitch when
you're lost about 7 or 8 miles an hour
off his fastball. When you're massively hungover, it's hard to pitch.
Actually, he might have lost about 10 miles an hour off his fastball. When he first came up, he was in the upper 90s.
He lost a bunch. Yeah. Now, he had injuries, but he's also not focused. He's not singularly focused.
He's got flawed mechanics, and he's a partier.
Anyway, so that was props to Josh Hader, local kid. Struck out 8 out of 9 batters last night.
But you mentioned, I want to do the EP here, but you do mention the Mets. Remember, they got off that hot start. They're 5-5 in their last 10, so they are coming back, regression to the mean here a little bit, which is keeping the Nats in it, even though the Nats are struggling. You know, if they were still on that pace, they could easily be 8-9, you know, games back.
Yep.
Easily. But luckily, the Mets have come back a little bit.
Well, May the division, 1st, no need to panic.
The division as a whole is just better than, well, certainly better than I thought it was going to be. The Braves have some stud young players. I mean, Albies and Acuña are unbelievable.
Well, nobody really thought the Phillies would be that good, right?
Phillies got off to a good start. Now, they've lost 3 straight. But, yeah, I mean, just the division as a whole is just better. I mean, the Marlins are going to struggle, but it's going to be harder to win those games this year than it was in the last couple
years.
And, you
know, the Marlins may end up being the worst team in baseball, but right now there are about 5 or 6 teams that have worse records. So they're not as bad as everyone thought.
Right. The division as a whole is better than people thought.
I think I bet the lowest under ever in Major League history on the Marlins.
Under 60?
Something like that.
I think you're going to lose that bet.
I probably am. Yeah. Of course I'm going to lose
all those
bets. Big, gigantic cooler. Wouldn't I lose it?
Yeah. They got 10 wins in the month. So.
Except at the poker table. Often lucky,
stop,
and you've won a bunch.
It's been a good run of late, which means
run.
I'm just
he's got
I'm
a bad beat coming.
I'm guaranteed to give it all back on my
he
next
got
session.
Free bullets. He does, but he still has a big bad beat coming.
Yeah, totally.
Believe me, that you never can get away from.
Yeah, don't hype me up over there.
All right, let's get into the entertainment page here. Tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Jason, you'll find this first story interesting. I think Lindsay Vonn has a new boyfriend. Apparently.
Man, she didn't waste any time.
And
is it another golfer?
It's another athlete.
Let me guess. NFLer?
Nope.
MLB-er?
Nope.
NBA-er?
Nope.
Tennis player.
You guys keep guessing.
Let's see.
All right, another
soccer
Olympian.
Player.
Olympian.
Nope.
So it's not a skier.
Table tennis player.
Plays in the NHL, Ricky.
Oh, hockey player. How'd we sleep on that?
What team?
I don't know. And this, Nashville.
Oh, I know, because you asked me how to pronounce his name.
Who is it?
P.K. Subban?
Yep.
P.K.?
I've heard of
he's
him.
He's a stud.
P.K. Subban? I mean, I've vaguely heard of him.
How do you spell his first name? P.K.
P.K.
P. Oh, is this P.K.?
Period. K.
Period. P.K. Subban. S-U-B-B-A-N.
I'm going to see where he's from.
They say Lindsay's been spending a lot of time in Nashville lately.
She loves the brothers.
She does.
He's a brother.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They were spotted out in Denver after a Preds-Avs game. So,
because remember, after Tiger, she started dating that wide receivers
he's
coach.
He's probably one of the most top five recognizable players in the league.
He is.
He's a superstar.
Yeah.
Right, because how many brothers are in the NHL?
I don't mean just because he's a brother. He's a really good player.
Superstar,
he's not my superstar.
Okay, well.
Vaguely heard of him.
If you're
couldn't
a superstar,
pick him out of the lineup.
If you're a superstar and you're a brother in the NHL, you're really recognizable.
That is true.
I always claim that she has a thing for The Rock, because even though they're both Under Armour representatives, if you go through The Rock's Instagram posts, she likes every single
one. Oh, she loves The Rock?
Every one.
Maybe she's trying to get into the Instagram movies straight or something. Flexing. Maybe she's angling for an acting job.
How do you unearth that connection? You just get curious and you check The Rock's
well, I somebody hit them to it.
He probably follows The Rock.
I follow them both.
And they follow them both, and so that name
and then
comes
every,
up.
And then every time The Rock's in the weight room lifting, it says, like, by Lindsay.
Lifting.
Lindsay Vonn.
Did you see who liked Darius Geis's jersey on his Instagram? Saquon Barkley.
Oh, really?
Did.
What's that mean?
Yeah, I know.
He likes it.
They respect
he likes
other.
Darius Geis.
Darius Geis. I thought there was some sort of drama.
Yeah,
there was nothing additional to the story.
Oh, okay.
He just liked his
Little
post.
Wayne got butt size for Geis.
Did he?
They were partying together. after the draft.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was up here or where, because it must have been Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
because he was wearing the Redskins polo and had his brand new jersey.
Well, isn't that his agent?
Oh, is Lil Wayne his agent?
His agent.
Well, the company.
Yes, correct.
That makes sense. Yeah, they were there partying together. Hopefully, but they're out of club.
He had Kendrick Lamar's first, though, right?
Now,
is that who he had?
Yes. As Skins fans, you only hope that he, Lil Wayne. He's not
drinking. What happened to Jay-Z?
He's not drinking the purple drink.
The scissor.
I hope not.
Along with Lil Wayne.
That'd be real bad.
Stay away from the purple drink unless it's like Gatorade.
If there's a run on Now and Laters out here, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you better look out.
What were you going to say, Valdez?
Is the purple drink silly, by the way? Does it make you feel silly? I mean, it has to, right?
Probably
codeine and alcohol mixed in it.
Yeah, you don't want to try it though, Cakes.
I might want a sip of it just to sample it.
Okay, so we did the horrible story about that DJ Avicii that passed away. That guy was like a world superstar DJ.
He's 28 years old.
28 years old. Now the reports are out. The parents had insinuated that he committed suicide. They're saying now he cut himself, bled to death on shards of glass from a wine bottle.
Oh. And there are differing reports as to whether he jabbed it into his neck or cut his wrist open with it.
They say Avicii, whose real name was Tim Bergling, cut himself with a broken bottle of wine and bled to death after years of substance abuse and depression.
Do you think he would have been as popular had he used his real name versus Avicii?
Tim Bergling is a hurting name.
Avicii's
a silly name.
It's a great name.
DJ Tim Bergling.
How did he come up with that one? It's a great one.
Again, we're in the wrong segment of the DJ business because he was making $250K in appearance. Mm. Do you make $250K in appearance?
I don't make $250K for anything.
Right. Can you imagine?
Coming into a 2 hour
show. All I have to do is do two pregame shows, Cakes.
Cakes, silly. Cakes was saying that Beyonce allegedly got paid $30 million for her appearance at Coachella.
And now
I saw
that on Twitter.
It can't be possible.
Ridiculous. I don't know how much I can source that. That's what I saw.
I mean, I didn't even think they could pay her $3 million. I don't know, $30
million. Where did you see that?
Some donk on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter.
A donk on Twitter.
You remember that?
Didn't even have a blue check mark.
You just believe anything on Twitter.
I believe a lot. Very gullible.
CNN or Money Magazine, whatever it's called, says $3
million. $3 million makes...
All right, maybe somebody added a zero.
It was a typo. A guy had a typo.
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
$3 million is for 2 hours?
All right, well, it's a little different than 30.
A little bit different, but it's still
pretty sick.
I know, but it was outrageous. $30 million?
Right.
You're acting like we haven't said outrageous things on the show all the time.
I know, but you believed it.
No one's really watching the reboot of the Jersey Shore, folks.
Saw a couple episodes.
Valdez is
a waste.
Big Mark.
So Ronnie, the big steroid guy, he totally just blatantly cheated on his new baby's mama on the show.
Yeah, with French fry.
Right, French fry. He killed it like in a bathroom, right?
Yep.
After a night of going out on the town. Yep. Guy's got a new baby, public romance with she's like an Instagram model or something.
I think so. And she's pregnant with his kid. I don't think they had the baby yet.
He seems sized not at all.
He's not sized at all. That guy is serious. He cheats more than Tristan Thompson.
Is French fry silly?
She's pretty attractive.
Yeah, she had nice jugs.
Pretty attractive.
And she was wearing a see-through shirt at the club.
But he started trashing her. He started trashing his baby's mama on social media, called her a hoe from the gutter. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine?
Sounds like he just knocked her up in like a one-nighter.
I don't know. They may have dated for a while, but it's just...
It sounds like they were together and it wasn't really serious, and then he got her pregnant. Right. They got pregnant.
Right, exactly.
Valdez knows everything about that.
Of course. And he's still in love with Sammy, you can tell.
Kylie Jenner wanted to go to Six Flags, so what did she do, Cakes? She rented out the entire thing.
I was gonna say she bought
that's pricey.
She rented out an entire Six Flags so her and her friends didn't have to wait in line.
I heard it cost $30 million to rent out Six Flags.
For Travis Scott's birthday. How much do you think that cost?
No idea.
Now, how long? Does it say?
Doesn't say.
Span of six hours?
Maybe you rent it out for like 3 hours or something. Maybe they close early. And, you know, how does that even work?
$50,000?
Oh. Got to be more than that.
It's 100? I would think it's at least that. Depending on how many
rent
hours
out because
it is.
You
depends how much profit they make per day.
Yeah.
I think $50,000 might be reasonable.
You think you might get it? $50K
at this point of the year, where it's not where the park.
We clearly have no idea, and
I know we're just guessing.
And Bickle's like, "Oh, you're an idiot! It's got to be more."
But for $50K, I wouldn't think it would do it.
Well, you didn't have a guess.
I would think it would be more.
Well, you should have it in the story.
I don't have it in the story.
You should.
It's hurting Barstool Sports.
Do your research.
They don't have an investigative reporter.
Yeah. They'll probably just make it up.
How's Barstool Nate going to get all that info?
Yeah.
Probably rented out one roller coaster.
Let me see. Don't care about that. Ashley Judd is suing Harvey Weinstein for blacklisting her after she refused his sexual advances. She says, after working for, I guess, for him, and then, you know, he approached her, she turned him down, and then, of course, she was one of many actresses who he wouldn't hire.
She also refused Casanova's sexual advances in Kiss the Girls, just in case you were wondering.
Great movie. Does that movie
hold
up?
Great movie.
Does it hold up?
Absolutely.
Of course it does.
It does? Up. Great movie.
Just curious, since we were playing the how much would it cost to rent the theme park. We wanted to do that for Jolly Rogers in Ocean City.
Ooh. See, I think you could rent that out for, if you walk up 10K for a whole day, gets
it done. Yeah, right. That's a cash cow. All the white trash go there.
Well, it depends on.
Are you kidding?
How offended he is.
Middle of the summer.
No way. That's so low, that number.
Yeah.
It's probably not more than 20.
Now, in the off season, like now, like, early May, late April.
You can get it for 20
I think
bucks.
You get the
no
job done
there.
For 10K. Now,
no, but in the
peak
prime,
summer, like July and August, probably
what are your
doesn't
top
get
three attractions at Jolly Rogers.
Ask
they
the
have,
expert.
They have go-karts, right?
Hopefully slick track go-karts
well,
as
they
well.
They have the boats. I like
the boats.
Speed World.
They got a big water slide. They've got a roller coaster.
Nubs roller
coaster. They have to have mini golf.
They got mini golf.
Yeah.
They got mini golf.
Hurting. Places.
What?
It's a dump.
It is, but you
my
know
childhood.
No, it's a dump. No
it's
doubt.
A terrible childhood.
And look at you. Childhood. What did I get? Adolescence or early adulthood.
They have made so much money.
Oh.
You know how fun that go-kart track is there? I mean, you could spend hours at the track.
Did we get it drunk when we went to like beach week in college.
Yeah, I don't know if we advocate doing
that's,
that.
That's smart.
Not the best idea.
It's fun.
Still fun. Definitely fun.
All right, and last but not least, we touched on this story earlier, but I'll just read you some of the details from it. Tristan Thompson apparently was bragging to pals before all this went down that Chloe would never leave him. Right after they got together, he was telling friends how she was obsessed with him and he could get away with murder. He said she was so desperate to have a baby that she never did anything to rock the boat in their relationship. He told pals as long as he got her pregnant, he could still have his fun on the side. He liked the perks that came along with dating a Kardashian, but was never planning on being faithful.
He wasn't willing to get rid of the thotterage.
No. Meanwhile, they say she's beating herself up. She thinks she must be a terrible lover. That's why her men keep cheating on her.
Mm-hmm. No, so they keep cheating because you're dating NBA ballers.
Right.
That's why they're cheating.
But they're saying you're picking the wrong guys, stupid.
They're dating regular Joe. Like, so she's got Lamar Odom.
Right.
And she's
James Harden,
whatever. Is there just like one plumber
no,
out there?
No chance.
No. Maybe like a real estate agent or something. You know, but it'd have to be like a celebrity.
Yeah, like a venture capitalist or something.
Right. Maybe.
But there's no chance she's going to date like the waiter.
Right.
It's just not gonna happen. Right?
No. Do you even think she's not interested in that.
No. They want fame and celebrity.
They love celebs.
The mother is already telling her to break up with Tristan and date someone higher profile. Yeah. Which I don't know.
Right, somebody else that will cheat on her.
Yeah.
The next time he lands in Sacramento.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it will happen.
The cake set went on the record and said he thought she was probably silly in a sack. I'm gonna say she's probably poop. She's probably on to something.
Maybe she is.
I've already forgotten the name. Has Bruce Jenner, what's the name?
Caitlyn.
Is Caitlyn still teeing it up?
Oh, yeah, from the ladies' tees, taking everybody's money.
Yeah, people get bitter.
Winning every Nassau.
Where does he play? Does he play out of a certain club?
Did he play at Riviera? I can't remember. He used to play at one of those big sillies. Brentwood Country Club or something. Yeah. Yeah, he played at one of those big sillies.
All right, coming up next, we will do an autopsy on the Washington Wizards. Their season came to an end. Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post joins us as we talk some Wizards here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to talk a little bit about the Wizards, who on Friday night lost game 6 in another fourth quarter where their offense completely struggled. And since then, you've heard some of the players talk about what the team needs to do in the offseason. Join us right now to give us a little more insight is Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
So we were talking about it on Monday mostly, about how the season kind of came to a crashing end. And it really was a frustrating season because there was so much hope after last season where they got to game seven in round two. Talk about kind of the regular season and how frustrating it was. Obviously, John Wall missed a lot of time, but they also lost a lot of games to teams that were at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I think they finished up something like 22-17 against teams that didn't make the playoffs. And you'd like to be 5-6 games better than that. So, and a lot of those games that they lost were games in which either John Wall was playing or the team was in just an advantageous position. They had been playing well, or it looked like they could get on a streak. And it's just those little things that kill you. I mean, this team could have missed Wall for 41 games and still been something like a 47 or 48 win team, and totally avoided this situation in which you were playing Toronto, the number one seed. And that ultimately, I think it's those, it almost feels like death by paper cuts. It's just those small, stupid things that they did throughout the season winds up killing them in the end.
Do you think there was something there with the chemistry? We talked about it kind of throughout the season, whether it was Gortat's tweet and the whole everybody eats thing, but it seemed like there actually was something there, even though ultimately John and Bradley would say that there wasn't.
Oh, there definitely was something there. I think it's two-pronged when you talk about chemistry. Chemistry doesn't always mean they hate each other. They do have difficult times talking to each other honestly when things go bad, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to happen when you talk about being a team that has chemistry. And then I think another thing that contributes to their lack of chemistry or certain issues with chemistry is how they're built. While Wall and Bill seem like the perfect combination together, I think everything else around them outside of Otto Porter, you start to wonder a little bit. I'll put Markieff Morris in there as well. He really fits what they want to do. But, you know, having two traditional centers that you play and that you pay almost $30 million on a team that should be a running team, you really need a center who can run and jump and catch lobs and block shots. They don't have that. Their backup guard situation is not good. The fact that they're playing a playoff game and Otto Porter goes out and you've got Kelly Oubre and ? At small forward. I mean, all those things indicate shortcomings on the roster for a variety of reasons.
You know, I'm a Wizards fan and been a lifelong Bullets/Wizards fan. But I have to say, I really got frustrated with this team. It's been growing the last few years. But really, this team in particular, certainly the John injury hurt the team. But they did well at times without him. But you just felt like they were sleepwalking through the regular season. They wouldn't get up for certain games. It was so obvious. Then they play some of the elite teams, and they play very, very well and knock off some of those teams. So I was actually, in a weird way, Jerry, kind of rooting for them to lose this series because I didn't want them to just prove to people that they could flip a switch and win. So I'm glad that they lost, and I'm hoping now that there will be some tweaks. But they are limited. I didn't have a problem with them re-signing Otto. I knew that would kind of handcuff them, but I thought they needed to keep him. He's a great three-point shooter in a league where you need three-point shooters. I don't know what they can do. What is their recourse? I mean, Ted seems to think the pieces are in place. As John noted, as you've noted, they aren't. They need more pieces. They need to tweak it. What can they do?
That's an interesting question. I mean, Candace Buckner laid it out well in an analysis piece today. I mean, they've got 10 players under contract at an estimated $124 million. The luxury tax is estimated to hit at about $123 million. So before they even make additions, they're already going to be in the tax, most likely. And we're not even talking about, draft picks and certain things like that. So they're up against it. They're going to have to make a trade. That's just the bottom line. And you've got a couple big guys and Morris and Gortat. Their contracts are short now, which makes them a little more attractive in the trade market. I think you might have to get creative on something. Maybe somebody really loves the efficiency of Otto Porter, and you can put together some exotic trade that allows you to get better that way. It's hard, but because Otto is such a solid player, but I don't think that Otto, and this is provided that everything is going to be right with his leg, and then these hip problems that he's been having isn't anything major. Provided that his body is okay, I still think there is tremendous value in him around the league, just the way that other coaches talk about him. So maybe there's a way you can get something more out of that $26, $27 million. I don't think this is a time in which you want to trade John Wall or Bradley Beal. People get frustrated and they just want to kind of start over. That's not the solution. This is a 3 all-star league. If you talk about a team that has championship aspirations, there's only a few out there that are able to do it without 3 all-stars. It's either 3 all-stars or it's 2 all-stars with an incredible supporting cast, kind of like the Houston Rockets have. And the Wizards got to find a way to get closer to that standard.
Now, you mentioned Bradley Beal, probably not a guy that would be on the move, but I would think of the 3 stars on the team, you're not going to be able to move John Wall because his Supermax deal kicks in after next season. He'll be making $37-plus million after that. And Otto, I think, is just overpaid, and all of the nagging injuries, I think teams are going to be scared off by that. I think if you're going to really shake up the team, you would have to consider trading Bradley Beal. Is that something you think Ernie Grunfeld would ever entertain? Moving Bradley Beal in a deal?
No, because Brad is 24 years old, and he is their best player right now. I mean, I think if you polled everyone in the organization and you said, who is your most important player at this point, I think they would say Bradley Beal over John Wall. And that's interesting, because last year I don't think there would have been any debate. It's Wall. This is a point guards league, and you need a high quality point guard, but I don't think they're of the opinion that trading Bradley Beal is the answer, especially in this Supermax era right now. The fact that it's funny, because when he signed his $128 million deal, we were wondering, is he worth it? Now, compared to other all-stars who are making these Supermax deals, he actually has a really fair contract. I mean, it's just crazy how NBA economics are at this point, but I think they're very comfortable having him and building it around him. And I wouldn't also, I don't think they're going to do this once again. I don't think they're trading either guy, but I don't think that Wall's value is as low as you think it is. Just because, once again, point guard, it is the premier position in the NBA, like center used to be. And John Wall, everyone knows, even with the injuries, even with the Supermax coming in, is a really damn good player that if you have him on your team, you are going to be a playoff contender every year.
Even with 5 years from now, he's going to be making $47 million?
You know, most teams don't look at what's going to happen 5 years from now. I mean, I think they look at it as, you know, if you got a guy like him, let's just see what we can do. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I still think he's a top 4 point guard in the league. So, you know, you can't get Westbrook. You can't get Steph Curry. If somehow John Wall became available, there would be a lot of people trying to put together deals. The problem is that what is the going rate for a star right now? Outside of Indiana, I can't think of anyone else who's traded an all-star and put together a really good deal.
Any thoughts on the Cavs-Raptors series, which starts tonight?
Yeah, this is the Raptors' year to beat LeBron. And LeBron is a monster, though. So it's going to take at least 6 games to do it, if not 7.
Yeah, I just feel like if you can somehow, you know, double team LeBron as much as you can and force other guys to shoot the ball, their bench is so much better than Cleveland's. I think that's where they win it. I agree. I think Toronto wins this series. It's hard to bet against LeBron because he could easily go for 40 each night, but they have to do whatever they can to get the ball out of his hands. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, anytime.
All right, Jerry.
Good feel stuff. Like we said the same thing last year. The Wizards are stuck.
Could be stuck.
I honestly wish that instead of Ted coming out and saying the championship pieces are in place, he would be realistic like I am and say, we won't really contend until LeBron is out of the East, because that's that's realistic.
Right.
That's realism. Telling me that championship pieces are in place.
Or now.
And getting bounced in the first round? Sorry. You're living in a dream world at that point.
Right.
You just are. You're living in an alternate universe.
Wait till the Celtics are at full strength next year with Hayward and Kyrie.
Right.
And all those young pieces they got. And then Philly. Is Philly going to get worse? I don't think so. They're going to get
probably
better.
Probably not.
Boston and Philly are going to get better.
I'm guessing
Markel Fultz is going to become a contributor.
Right. So it's... Might be right, Cakes. They're just kind of stuck. I know you want to trade one of those guys.
We knew that, though. And we knew that at the time. We knew that when they gave Otto his deal. But
and look, I understand Bradley Beal's importance to the team, but if you get a deal that works for both sides to shake up the chemistry a bit, because, hello, they're not advancing past the first and second round at this point. Or you want to keep doing that year after year after year? I don't know.
Well, the one thing we know about
Ted, it's
better
than being in Sacramento Kings, who never make the playoffs.
Right, or Phoenix.
We're in a different spot than those teams, but the Wizards are stuck in just a limbo right now, and I don't know how they get out of it.
And we know what the Wizards need. They need athletic bigs.
Right.
Younger athletic bigs that can get up and down the floor and catch alley-oops.
Well, those guys, and shoot threes.
Those guys, they don't grow on trees.
Right.
I mean, they're not easy to find.
Where do we pick? We pick like 18?
15.
15. I think it's 15.
Right outside the lottery.
Did you see how many underclassmen declared for the draft?
Like
buck 500.
50? I think it was 246.
I don't even get the satisfaction of running the Wizards lottery generator.
Nope. Zippy lottery.
On the outside looking in, Cakes.
Right, nothing matters anymore.
Should mention, coming up at 9:20, Chelsea James from the Washington Post is going to join us. We will talk about the Nats, who've now won two in a row.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.